Good morning, Carrboro and Chapel Hill. This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom bringing you our weekly Friday program. This morning, our guests are Alan Moore, Vice President of IAM, which is the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, and William Harrington, the President of Safety in the Moncur Plywood Plant. They have been on strike for 40 days at the plant. Just for your information, Moncur is just south of Pittsburgh, less than an hour from Carrboro. So, Alan and William, tell us about the strike. What's happening?
Well, basically, the company offered us a final proposal in July, and we had made strategy when we would start our strike, and our strike started on the 20th of July, and we've been on strike ever since. The final proposal was they wanted to place a relative clause in our seniority that would cause a lot of favoritism with management. Management would have the right, and we told them, we asked them, well, what is the criteria of the relative clause? And they never gave us an answer, but we knew what it meant. It meant that the management would choose and pick who they wanted to go into the position. When a job went on the board for a bid, management would choose and say that, you know, I think you can do this job better than that person, even though that employee probably wouldn't have been in the workforce for 2 or 3 weeks. And they would have the right, they would choose them over someone that been in the plant for 37 years or 25 years. And we knew that wasn't something that we couldn't live with. That was a slow death to the operation.
Okay. And I think there were some other things going on too that caused you to go on strike. I know, I know that the strike is not concerned with more money, but more concerned with safety issues and also that 60-hour mandatory work week.
Yes.
Maybe William, you're the president of the safety concerns there. Could you tell us about that?
What question you want directed to? You're talking about the 6-hour work week, or
tell us about either they're connected. I know. Tell us about the safety issues, because I know the plant has been cited for problems.
Okay. Previous to this administration, we had a safety meeting. We would have it at least once a month. We come together, we talk about safety concern. It was more employee-oriented than it is now. Right now, it's more or less management. You know, they do all the safety issues as they see them. And in reality, a lot of things have gone unchecked, undone. For example, we used to have a person checking on a daily basis about safety guards and those kind of things. They've done away with that paperwork, so we could not be able to, you know, show where something was unsafe. Also, I noticed that one day as I was working on a piece of machine that I had to go in a place where there was no guard there. And when I went in there to hit the button, the superintendent was there. He told me, said, don't do that no more. But I noticed they never did put a guard on it. I noticed in some of the other areas where the maintenance would go in and do preventive maintenance, and when they walk away from there, they would leave the guard off. That was a no-no in years past, because we would walk up and say that that's not going to work, and management also would not allow it to work. So it put people more at risk, because they had other, their agenda was not really safety, number one. It's more or less what's production.
Okay, tell us about the other issues, too, that led to the strike. Tell us, either one of you, tell us more about the mandatory 60-hour work week, what that would mean.
In addition, prior to the 6-hour work week, last year the company was fined $37,000 for wood-cutting machines that had no guards on them. So this in addition to what Brother William was saying. Mm-hmm. And the 6-hour work week would really make it very difficult for employees, because most employees that have long tenure at our place of employment are over 50 years old. Mm-hmm. And a 6-hour work week would really make it very difficult for the employees, and not only difficult for the employees, but also that we wouldn't have any time, quality time, with our families.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the other issues you could tell us about is the health insurance. What's been happening about that?
Well, what we asked, we said that we know we had to pay more for our insurance, and we was willing, and we are willing, to pay a flat dollar rate. But what they wanted to impose upon the employees was that they wanted to impose a percentage rate of 18% to 22%, and throughout the duration of the contract, it would cost each employer like 90 cents an hour. It would be 4 times the rate that they're paying now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I thought I understood, that since this new company came in 05, that the health insurance rate for families had gone up something like 400%. Yeah,
yes,
so
ma'am.
A lot of the employees were not able to continue the health coverage for their families that they had.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And which leads me to a little bit of the history of this plant. Now, that the plant has been there for how many years?
The plant has been there 41 years. And we've had other management, and, you know, we've always had a rapport with the management, previous management.
Mm-hmm.
But this Atlas Holding Company from Green, which Connecticut, when they came in 2005, it's been difficult ever since they've taken over our place of employment.
So until 2005, for all those years, there's been really good management labor relations. And when this new company bought it out in 2005, since then is when things have been going steadily downhill.
Yes, ma'am. The plant had been very profitable. You know, our previous management said that if he had the money, he would love to purchase this little mill. He said it's small, and it has a lot of age on it, but he said it's one of the most profitable mill in the South.
Wow. And it's one, you know, it's really striking to me that it is unionized. How long has the union been there?
The union has been there for 40 years.
So that it's one of the few unionized plants in Chatham County.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Tell us, you're the vice president of the union. How did you get to be vice president?
Well, I started out as a shop steward. And my job as a shop steward, matter of fact, I was chief shop steward. And I had other shop steward under my position. And what we would do, employees would have, when they would have problems with the supervisor, you know, other shop stewards would relay the message to me. They would either go upstairs with them, and when they would talk to the manager, if they would have problems, they would come to me, and then I would take their grievance, either I would write a grievance, and then I would go up and talk with management, and we would resolve it. Mm-hmm. We had such a relationship with previous management that it was just very seldom that we would write grievance. You could just about count on one hand the grievance we would write in a 1-year period.
Yeah.
But this management that we have now, this present management, I've already written one book already of grievance.
Wow. Yeah.
It's unheard of.
And then after being shop steward, you ran for vice president.
Well, after being a shop steward, after the previous vice president, he moved to another job, and I was voted in as the vice president.
Wow. William, can you tell us why you're a member of the union?
Well, I'm a member of the union because it gives us workers a right to be able to sit down and talk to management about any concerns that we have, meaning that, you know, once we can come to agreement on a contract, we know that that's going to be in place for 3 years. No change will be taking place, and if they would violate any of that, they'd be violating the law. And so we felt more secure working under that kind of protection, because, you know, many times people would come in, they have new supervisor come in, they just fire you for any reason. Well, with a union, they just can't fire you for any reason. They have to give some credibility to the reason why they fired you. And that has saved a lot of our workers from losing their jobs, especially when management is angry and they all just fire. And we have had people who have maybe been out for 12 or 7 weeks or longer, and the union brought them back in, and some of them even had received their pay for being out. And it's just a good thing to have unions in the workplace.
And you've been a member of the union for how long?
I can't say it specifically, but I can say that 98% of my time that I've been there, I've been with the union.
Yeah, good for you. Well, it sounds like the union has really helped you, all of you workers at that plant, to feel that the security of having each other, to back each other up whenever there is a problem, and to have a method of handling any grievances.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I know when I first heard about the strike from one of your members, Melvin, was that with the 60-hour mandatory work week, he said, you've got to realize when it is 100 degrees outside, it's 120 degrees in the plant. So that makes really hard working conditions. And can you tell us a little bit about what it's like to work there? And also with plywood, don't you handle chemicals?
Yes. Let me answer that question for you. Now, my job is a core layer, a core feeder, and I work near two presses. And in most cases, I've also, operated as a press operator. In most cases, it's 325 degrees from those presses, each one of them. And so sometimes, especially when they get a lot of wood in there, the whole mill is congested. There's not enough air flowing in. And last year, we had several people to get too hot. And even, I think in one case, we had to bring an ambulance in to take somebody out because of the weather. So yes, it's when you talk about working in a mill 60 hours and people's bodies is tired, it won't take much for them to begin to affect their health.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing about the 6-hour work week is that this type of management is not consistent in how they're going to deal with your work week. They like to come up and, like on Monday or Tuesday, if something happened and you go home, they'll work you all the way up to Sunday evening if they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have any, you can't schedule anything because of the way they do business.
Mm-hmm.
Before the other previous management come in, we didn't have to worry about if we, for example, in most cases, something happened on Monday or Tuesday, we'd have to worry about working on Sundays. It was just an incident that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But we still made money. This company tried all kind of tactics, and all we ever heard from them, we're not making any money. So apparently money's not an issue with them, and they're going to force us out on scrap and not be able to make the kind of production they want made, not being able to make the kind of quality wood they once made. So that tells me that the union is very important to us because they're willing to take that big loss just to prove a point.
Yeah. So you all have been on strike now, into the fourth week?
Yes, today is the day 40th for our strike.
So when you're on strike, what does that mean? Like you have a picket line, I take it?
Yes, we do have a picket line. You know, we keep a number of people out there, 24 hours a day. That's around the clock.
Wow.
And then what we're doing now, we're trying to have rallies such as we had the 26th in Chatham County at Pittsburgh. We had rallies and we had more support from the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we had at one of our good friend of ours, C.E. Willie Film Home, we had fish and chicken fry. And we was asking participants, those members in the city, communities, they gave us more support, also rendered us some monetary support as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was raining and we weren't quite as profitable as we wanted to. We'd have loved to have been Tuesday, but we are going to plan another rally.
I went to the rally and I was really impressed. It was, I think, about 100 or maybe a little more than 100 people there at the circle around the courthouse in Pittsburgh. And it seemed to me that holding up signs about the strike and about justice for the workers, and it seemed to me that a lot of the vehicles as they went around the circle there were honking their horns and holding up their arms in a lot of gestures of support. I just want to take a break here and remind people that this is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, WILF, having its weekly Friday morning program. We are talking to you from WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. This is your listener-supported community station. We depend on you, our listeners, for support in keeping your community voice on the air. Every little bit is most welcome. To donate, just mail a check to WCOM, 203 North Greensboro Street, Carrboro, North Carolina, 27510, or go to our website, www.communityradio.coop, C-O-O-P, and click on the Donate Now button to access our secure server and donate online. WCOM depends on you to keep the local music and conversation flowing. Thank you for your support. We are today talking to Alan Moore, Vice President of IAM, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, and William Harrington. They belong to the union and are at the Moncure Plywood plant. And unfortunately, conditions there have necessitated them going on strike. And they have been on strike for about 4 weeks now. And they are here telling us about their work at the plywood plant and why they are on strike. We just were talking before the break about the rally that was held in Pittsburgh in order to get the community knowing about the strike, because some of us from WILF went out to visit you, and you know, it's on a country road there, and people are on the picket line and holding up their signs, but there's not a lot of traffic on that road. And it seems to me that getting the word out about the justice for the workers there and what you're struggling with is really, really important. So the rally that was held on Tuesday in Pittsburgh was an attempt to bring your struggle to the community, to gather the kind of community support that will help the workers.
Yes.
So tell us a little more about, you know, what are some other strategies that you are planning in order to get the kind of support and to help management know that there is that kind of support for you?
Well, you know, as I said earlier, we are in the process of planning more rallies and trying to get more media support, mm-hmm. such as coming to the radio station, as mm-hmm. you invited myself and William to come. And we are going to be going to other conventions and mm-hmm. trying to get support more internationally. Have started kicking in more, and to give us some more support and financial support. And and then it checks, you know, that people could give us financial, you know, they could send it to IAM at Post Office Box 318 Moncure, North Carolina. And if they could do that, that would help us a lot.
So financial support is really important, because you're not getting a paycheck now for 4 weeks. So that is a real hardship. Does the union help financially? Is that what you were saying?
Well, we are getting a benefit, a check, $150 per week. But you know, that's just so meager. You know,
that would
a lot of people that live far from the picket line.
Yeah.
Time to go to the grocery store and fill up about once or twice a week. You know, that money's gone.
Yeah. So that helps a little bit. the $150 a week, but it's barely enough. And you're right, with the cost of gas, workers, even just to be able to come, they have to, because all the workers have to come to the picket line a certain amount of time each week.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And how long, how much?
Well, it's the required amount of hours is 18.
18?
Yes.
So if you live far away, just even getting the gas these days to get there, and then food, of course, is essential for your family. Now, I understand that in the plant, there is, African-American workers, Latino workers, and white workers. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to me when I visited the picket line that they were in solidarity. Can you tell us more about that? How you've kept that kind of solidarity going, and what has management tried to do to undermine that?
Well, one of the things we did, when they hired the Latinos come in before we went out on scrap, we would talk to them about some of the concerns that was in there, and to try to make them aware of what they was being confronted with. And several of the Latinos, they was always asking me questions about the union. And one of the things that was unique about it is that one of the fellows asked me, after he found out that, the company was not going to budge, he said, well, where are we going to go on scratch? And he was instrumental in talking to his Nintendo brothers. He said, we are ready when y'all are ready. And so they were with us 100% in terms of, going out on scratch and trying to get a better working condition for all of us. As far as the whites was concerned, some of them, they came along also, very strong supporters too. So we all aware that we're in this thing together. We're not divided by race on the picket line. Everybody's the same color because we all out there for the same reason.
Yeah.
We're out there for better working conditions and workers' rights. We're not concerned about the money. We want people to know that we're not scratching for money. We're scratching for better working conditions and having contract language that would be appropriate both for employees and employer.
Yeah, that's what impressed me when some of us visited the picket line and stood with you for a while to show our solidarity with you, that there was Latino workers, white workers, black workers, and I just think in this day and age that was really impressive, especially with the, I think traditionally management, when they want to control the workers and not give them their rights, traditionally try to pit worker against worker.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, my hat's off to you workers that you've not allowed that to happen.
Right.
Yeah. On the picket line, so I know when I was there, it was hot. It was really, there was a couple of umbrellas up, but it was not easy conditions there. You're out on a roadside.
Well, initially when we started out, they had a mobile unit at the picket line, across the other side of the railroad track. And we started out with a tent. We had a canvas, and that kept us comfortable, from the rays of the sun.
Yeah.
But we was made to take those down. And also, in addition to the canvas, we had also a porta-john, and we was made to take that away. And one of the uncomfortable position that we are in now is that we have some people on the line that's diabetic, and they had to travel at least 2 miles to go to a porta-john.
That is terrible.
And we had a grill, and it made us take that down. And so, we are still in preparation of trying to get that tent remounted, and also trying to get our grill back so we won't have to haul our food from afar to bring to the picket line. And I just want to thank you all, for y'all were very instrumental in helping us remove the mobile unit 2 weeks ago. And hats off to you all for having this available.
Tell us, because I don't know if our listeners understand when we're talking about a mobile unit, because when we first saw that, we were appalled. And tell us what that mobile unit was.
Well, that mobile unit was there. It gave comfort to the sheriff department. You know, when it was raining, they could always go inside, just like someone sitting out on the porch. You know, when the rain would descend, they could just go inside the mobile unit and have comfort, air conditioning. If it got too cool, they could turn up the heat or whatever. But that's where our tent, when we initially started out with, the tent really gave us protection from the hard rain that came. The umbrellas gave us some support, but it was nothing like the tent that we initially started out with.
Yeah.
And it seemed as if, though, you know, it was designed to make us just as uncomfortable as they possibly could. But, you know, that only intensified the matter because it made us that much stronger.
Yeah. Well, for our listeners' understanding, that mobile unit was on the company grounds, and the mobile unit said Chatham Police Department or Sheriff's Department. Sheriff's Department. And it gave the impression, and this was taxpayer money, you know, on the company ground, it gave the impression that the taxpayers were supporting management against labor.
Yes.
And so, one of our members did, you know, call and raise complaints about that.
Yes.
And it's still removed?
Yes, it has. It's been removed. Matter of fact, that Monday when she came down, that next Monday, it was removed. And we went downtown and talked to the county commissioners, and we let them know, you know, what was going on. We felt like it was unfair. And that Tuesday when we arrived back to the picket line, that mobile unit had disappeared sometime during the course of the night. And we thank you all for the moral support that you gave us. And with us going down to the county commissioners meeting on that Monday, all that working together was called that mobile unit to...
That's what's so important, working together. William, you wanted to add something?
That was a comment that I wanted to make, was that after we got the moral support from y'all, that we went up and we talked to the commissioner, and there were some people that was also in that meeting, because I noticed that one of the ladies that was in the meeting recognized me when we were down and sat in place. And she said, "You were one of those fellows that came to the meeting the other night talking about the sheriff department." I said, "Yes, I was." So I believe that by us going there, it also gave the community at large the idea that the company was using the sheriff's department to harass working people who were on the picket line.
Well, I think, you know, what we're talking about is how important it is. Not only the union helps the workers stick together and be in solidarity to struggle for their rights, but this affects all of us, and how important community support, so that you're not isolated and alone out there. How, you know, going to the commissioners, getting some support from some members of the community, how that helps you keep up your morale. And I think WILF has not been the only community group to showing support. There are other community groups too. Let's see, there's the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, and the Orange County Bill of Rights Defense Committee has also been in support. Okay, we have and the Black Workers for Justice were out there in force, giving you support, and other groups, church groups, faith-based groups. I know the community church here in Chapel Hill, their Peace and Justice Committee has been in support.
Yes.
And I know there's been others. Is there anybody I'm forgetting to mention, or have we covered the bases on?
Well, you know, you did a beautiful job in covering the faith-based support that we got from the various denominations in the community and abroad as well. So we want to thank them for their moral support and also their financial support as well.
Well, that's why we want to get the word out and build that base of support for you all. I think I'd like us to, as we're getting ready to close, tell us again how people in the community can help you financially, writing letters to the editor. What, you know, tell us what we can ask our listeners to help you with.
Well, our listeners, you know, they can give us some more support by, you know, this what you're doing now, you know, making mention of it on the radio and the community, you know, because if that plant was shut down, you know, there would be a lot of stores in the community wouldn't have that business, you know, mm-hmm. they would lose some finance as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if they could just, in people's, you know, community, they could make it known or through their newspaper.
And where can they send checks to again? Can you tell us again?
The checks can be sent to IAM Post Office Box 318 Moncure, North Carolina, zip 27559.
Great. Okay. This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom signing off from WCOM LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro.